I don't know about you, but I have already had an incredible weekend. Hasn't it been amazing around here? Yeah. Yesterday morning, packing up 160 plus of these boxes for kiddos around the world, followed by sharing a meal with 260 plus people in our community to observing the gift of baptism this morning, to testimonies, to gifts of worship through song and prayer. My heart is already full. Our God indeed is good.
Amen.
And as we continue to enjoy his goodness, would you open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you're a Jeopardy person, there will be a great Jeopardy question in 2 Samuel 9. What is the name of the son of Jonathan, grandson of Samuel? Mephibosheth. Ever heard of him? We hear his story today. 2 Samuel 9, starting in verse 1. David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and he was summoned to David. The king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." The king said, "Is there anyone remaining of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Ziba said to the king, "There remains a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Maker, son of Amiel, at Lo Debar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maker, son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. David said, "Mephibosheth," he answered, "I am your servant." David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table always." And then verse 13, Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Would you pray with me? Father God, just as on this day, this man received word that the king was asking, "Where is he? Bring him to me." As we come before your word this morning, might we hear our king calling for us? And might we stand in your presence humbly to receive of your goodness? Of all the things we have to give you thanks for, the least of them is not the gift of your word and your spirit that brings it to life in us again and again. So would you do it today, we pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our series this morning on generous living, remembering the ways that our God has been generous to us as we delve into ways that we as his children can be generous to others with every part of our lives. Generous in relationships, generous in forgiveness, and this morning, generous with power. In 2 Samuel 4, we didn't read that part, give you a little background. Saul's kingdom is in turmoil. The Philistines have killed both Jonathan, that's Saul's son, and they've killed Saul in battle. And so the rest of Saul's household assumes that they are the next to come. It was custom back then that when a new leader would arise, they'd kill off anyone of the former king's household so as to minimize the threat of being overthrown. It makes sense. And so the managers of Saul's household in this moment of chaos began to grab everything they could get their hands on, and they literally ran for the hills. A nurse grabbed the son of Jonathan. He was just 5 years old, and in her haste to get out of town, she dropped the boy, and he became crippled for the rest of his life in both of his feet. The boy's name was Mephibosheth. That was many, many years ago. Now in 2 Samuel 9, David is already firmly established as the only king of Israel. One day in his life, he remembers this covenant that he had made with his best friend Jonathan years ago. He and Jonathan stood together and they promised that no matter what may come, they would never cut off their love for one another's households. And now David is king and Jonathan and most of his house is totally gone. And David begins to ask, is there anyone left in the house of Saul whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake to? This word that David uses for kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. I don't tell you the Greek and Hebrew very often because it doesn't often matter, but today it does. Because hesed, that Hebrew word, it's much more than just kindness. It's this word that's used to show God's steadfast, enduring, relentless love. Hesed. It's God's desperation to keep us together with Him, whatever may come. David says, is there anyone left to whom I can show God's steadfast, enduring, desperate love? Hesed. The servant Ziba speaks up. He says, well, there does remain one son of Jonathan, but he's crippled. Interesting how Ziba doesn't even bother to call this man by name. He just says, oh, it's the crippled guy, David. He's no threat to you in your kingdom. Nothing to worry about there. He doesn't get why David's asking the question. David says, no, Ziba, you've missed the point. I'm not anxious about my future kingdom. I'm aware of this gift of power that I've been given, and I have a covenant to keep with my friend. I'm interested in sharing what I have with the one that I have promised it to. The disability is no concern to David at all. Where is he? David asks. He doesn't ask, well, how did he get in that crippled mess that he's in? Or what was done to him? Or what did he do? He just says, that boy that I made the promise to, where is he, Ziba? Bring him to me. Oh, he's in that place called Lo Debar, Ziba says. Lo Debar translates place with no pasture, barren land. Mephibosheth has been limping around here in this land of nothing all of his life. And you know, it's where we all end up when we allow someone to define us by our disabilities first. Ziba goes to the barren land to fetch Mephibosheth and to bring him home. And I can just imagine what was going through Mephibosheth's mind when he heard that knock on the door. He hears his caretakers out there whispering to the servants and then to him. And they say, sir, so King David wants to see you. thanks, but no thanks, guys. That's not going to happen. What would King David want from his predecessor's grandson, the rightful heir to the throne, but to absolutely do away with him? No way I'm going there. Nice try. But sir, the king has commanded it. You must go. He arrives at the palace. He and his servants wait anxiously for the king's arrival. At first sight of David, Mephibosheth throws himself from his chair, face plants on the floor, an act of honor for sure, even more, a silent plea that his life might be spared. Mephibosheth, David calls him by name. He doesn't say, crippled man, get up. He says, Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, my friend. Grandson of Saul, not really my friend. You see, David cares only about the covenant, about the good coming to this man. He says, don't be afraid, for I have called you here not to punish you. I have called you here to show you hesed, to show you God's steadfast love. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I will restore to you all of your family's land, and you will eat at my table forever. A crippled man, the grandson of the enemy, feasting nightly at the mighty king's banqueting table. Picture that. Isn't it beautiful? It happened. Mephibosheth, on that day, left that barren land Lodabar and made his home in Jerusalem, the center of vitality and life. There he ate at the king's table as one of David's very own sons. And I can't help but imagine that every night, again and again, the table was set. David would come and he would take his place. Everyone is ready to dig in. The king puts up his hand and says, "Wait, not so fast. That chair over there, it's still empty. That's Mephibosheth's chair." And there he would be sitting in the back room, still in utter disbelief that he's welcome in that place. And I can hear the king yell over the palace, "Mephibosheth, my son, come and eat. Your seat is at the table. Come and be with me." And in a few moments, his servants would come, carrying him, tears in his eyes. Excuse me. Everyone waiting to start. I'm not crying, I just can't talk. Until all the family was present. "Mephibosheth, where are you? Don't be afraid. Come and eat. Come and be with me." David, generous with his power, gave Mephibosheth more than was required or expected. David gave him Saul's land. That's income. That's a way not only to survive, but to thrive. David showed Mephibosheth justice. And David gave him a place at the table. That's the gift of community. And David adopted this man limping along in this land of no pastures, the last living heir in his line, into his very own household. He lets him live as one of the king's own sons. That is a gift of extravagant grace. David could have killed him to secure his throne and to make a point. He had enough power to do that. No questions asked. David could have brought him in and fed him in exchange for services, made him an indentured servant of sorts, keeping the covenant with Jonathan while still making a point. He certainly had the power to do that. But what David did, no one could have expected or imagined. David used the power that God gave him to give his enemy's grandson security, belonging, and grace. He used his power not to lord it over this vulnerable man, but to give Mephibosheth power as well. Thank you, Devin. You are my friend. It's that time of year, isn't it? That's good. He used his power not to lord it over this vulnerable man, but to give him power as well. That is generous. That's an upside down kingdom kind of story. And that is our story. Seems ancient, but if we're honest, all of us here are Mephibosheth, are we not? We too have disabilities. Some of us are crippled by low self-esteem and self-doubt. Maybe it wasn't all that long ago, or maybe it was very long ago. Someone who was supposed to nurture you, supposed to protect you, dropped you. And all these years later, you can still hear their words like it was yesterday. Those awful phrases about not being the smart one or the pretty one, about never being good enough. It haunts you. And you're still limping along in the land of Lodabar, that barren land. Others are crippled by guilt and shame of what you have done or what you have left undone. It doesn't matter how many times we tell you that God loves you and God forgives you. You can't hear it. You're too far away in Lodabar. Some still are crippled by fear and by hurt. The fear of trying something new, of going another way, is so intense that it is debilitating. The hurt, the anger, the pain is so severe that you just keep wandering in Lodabar, that barren land. You don't necessarily want to be there, but you have no idea how to make a living anywhere else. You'll just be a burden. You'll just screw up stuff there too. You'll just disappoint more people. Just stay in Lodabar, where the expectations are low. And so is the life expectancy. We're all Mephibosheth, aren't we? We've all fallen into something. Some have fallen into bad health. Some into bad habits and addictions. Some have fallen into bad memories that haunt them. Others have fallen into a really bad record of relationships. All of us have fallen into sin. All of us are in need of the hesed, the steadfast, enduring love of God, that desperate love of God that goes to every effort to bring us home. And all of us had had times in our life when we got word that the king was calling for us, that God was asking around, where is he? Where is she? Is there another one out there to whom I can show my goodness? Where are you? And in response to that call, knowing that God is powerful over all, and knowing that our hearts so often are a threat to his kingdom as we seek to go our own way, have we not trembled and been slow to come home? If I heed his call, he will do me in. He'll make me account for my mess. He'll be embarrassed by my disability. If he really sees me, he will be done with me. I prefer this life in Lodabar, in this land of nothing, to the risk of being thrown before God's throne, susceptible to whatever mood God might find himself in at the moment. He's powerful enough to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and that can be terrifying. And so we keep on limping along until at last we can stay away no more. And when we finally muster up just enough courage, just enough desperation to move into the king's presence, have we not also thrown ourselves on the ground begging for mercy? Just to hear our king say, child, don't you be afraid. I've brought you here to give you good things because of a covenant I made with my people long ago. Let's start with justice and mercy. I know your heart. I know what's been done to you. I have wept with you. I know what's been taken from you, and I've shaken my fist right beside you. And now, as a gift of justice, receive a protector to watch over you and to care for you. In my power, I give this to you. And look, you're not alone. Come to the table. Take of the bread and the cup, and remember my life poured out. And look around. See your brothers and your sisters at this table too. No longer alone. You have a place in the community of my people. In my power, I give you belonging. And not only that, child, come and be mine. Have a room in my home. No longer are you just a son of a friend. Now you are a son and a daughter of the king, claimed and adopted. Welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Has this not been our story too? And sometimes, don't we still sit in the back room and doubt that it's too good to be true? Our God has his banquet table set, and he's ready to dine with those he loves, ready to share all the deepest intimacy he has with those in his home. And we're back in the back somewhere, looking at our messed up feet, wondering how we got to thinking this grace could really be that good. We start packing up our bag. We are sure that we don't belong here. And just as we're zipping it shut, we hear this booming voice coming from the banqueting hall. Mephibosheth! Jamie! Jim! Michelle! Stephen! Chuck! Come out and eat! Your food is getting cold. Your place is set. We're all here waiting for you. Come out and eat with your king. Come and be with your father. Bring your disability with you. It's okay. Just come out. Come out wherever you are and enjoy the feast with your God. You see, David is to Mephibosheth what our Jesus is to us. Generous in power, his own poured out so we might live. Thanks be to God. It's true. We're all Mephibosheth. And it's also true that we're all David in this story too. We all, children of the living God, have this Holy Spirit inside of us. And with that, we all have been given power beyond us to sow God's love and light in this world in unexpected ways and places, in abundance, and yes, through sacrifice. How can we be a people like David, generous in power? Just a few suggestions. We can choose to live in awe of this Jesus who, according to Philippians chapter 2, says, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Yes, even death on a cross. An all-powerful God who chose humility and sacrifice for us. Marvel at this truth. And let that be inspiration enough to use your power for others just the same. How to be generous in power? Live in awe of Jesus. And then recognize what you've got. You see, David knew that he had total power for his day. There was no secret about that. And knowing what he had, he was then able to grasp what he could do. None of us are kings and queens in this place, but what do we have? If we don't acknowledge it, it's not going to do anyone any good. Did you know that nearly half of the world's population, that is more than 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day? 22,000 children die each day due to poverty. 805 million people worldwide don't have enough food to eat. And more than 750 million people lack access to clean drinking water every single day. Do you have more than $2.50 in your possession right now? Are you pretty sure you'll have food to eat today? Clean water to drink? Guess what? You're rich. That's stability. That's power. Recognize what you have and name it for what it is. Do you speak English in a country where English is the official language? Guess what? That's power. We were in a meeting a few months back downstairs when immigration things were really scary. They still are. There was a lawyer here speaking to our Guatemalan brothers and sisters, saying if someone comes to your door at midnight, banging on the door, you don't have to answer it if they have a piece of paper that looks like this and is missing this piece of information. And they said, well, will that be in English or Spanish? Oh, English, of course. So we're asking a family at midnight who's already terrified, who speaks no English, to know if they should or shouldn't open their door to someone banging, saying, come out. Friends, your language is power. Recognize that and put it to use to bring a neighbor up, not to leave them behind in Lodabar. Do you have a home? It's power. Do you have an education? That's power. Do you have a skill that's employable or useful? That is power. Do you have computer savviness? That's power. Are you able to read and write a logical thought? That is power. Do you have life experience? That's power. Are you feeling really powerful? Are you feeling good about yourself? Know what you have and ask how you're doing using what you have to advocate for justice, to invite folks into community, and to expand the household of God in response to it. Freely we've been given, freely we get to give. How to be generous with power? Stand in awe of Jesus. Be honest about what you have, and ask the questions, who are they? You see, David was proactive. He didn't wait to see if one day Mephibosheth might make it to his palace and ask him for a favor. David, on his own, remembered his covenant. On his own, he acknowledged his great responsibility in this world. And on his own, on a normal day, he asked, is there anyone out there that I could share God's kindness with? Is there anyone? Don't wait for the powerless to come to you. It might be way too hard for them to make it out of Lodabar alone. You're the one with power. Go to them. Ask who they are, where they are. Who are some of the folks stuck in Lodabar without a voice in our society today? The list could go on and on. Immigrants, refugees, children, teenagers, the elderly, the mentally ill, minorities of any kind, ex-convicts, addicts, the uneducated, those with disabilities, the poor. Who comes to your mind? Are those needing someone around us with a little power to just ask about them, to wonder about them, to lose some sleep over them, putting together a plan for some way to go to them and bring them home? Ask the question, is there anyone out there who God wants me to lift up and to love? Want to be generous with power? Ask the questions and then offer up the gifts of life. Those are the gifts of justice and community and grace. Share your education by mentoring. To the adults in the room this morning, do you know how many of our young people at BCC have dreams of going to college, but they don't have the slightest idea of how to get there? Wednesday night, that room is full of them. Could you take one under your wing and invest in them until they arrive? How about using your home to set a table and invite folks to come who never get invited? This Thanksgiving, who will you be dining with? Is there anyone who already has a spot made at your table who took a little extra effort to bring along this year? But someone who you just knew needed a place to call home? Or is it just the people that are always there? You see, it's not too late to make a phone call. Your English proficiency. Talk to Rose. She's right here. She's got tons of Guatemalan students and their families who could use your help. Your ability to read. In the place of a gossip magazine or some mediocre fiction novel this month, how about you read some articles on folks who have experienced injustice? Read about the Me Too movement for those who have been sexually harassed and abused. Read about human trafficking and how every single year it spikes in the city hosting the Super Bowl. There's worse things to football than you know. Read about refugees that are caught between the borders of Syria and all the surrounding countries. Nowhere to go. Those countries are maxed out. Can't let them in. Families just desperate to keep their kids alive. And as you read these stories, begin to dream. Begin to write letters and demand justice. Put together a fundraiser and help some people out. Bring the truth to light. Use your gifts of power to do something, anything bigger than yourself on behalf of someone, anyone stuck in Lodabar with no voice, no place, no one even asking if they're there. And then, how to be generous with power. Rally up some others to help you as well. Share the passion. Bring us along. We want to be a part, don't we? Yeah? Okay, good. One person does. I'm in two. That's two. That's all you need to get started. David brought Mephibosheth into his home, and in all that he did for him, you notice there's one thing he couldn't do for him, and that was heal him. The very last verse says, and he was crippled. We don't go to Lodabar to fix people. We go to Lodabar to share the hesed, the steadfast love of God, his home with them. Mephibosheth was still crippled. So everywhere he went in Jerusalem, Mephibosheth needed a person on each side to lift him, to dress him, to bathe him, to carry him to the table. Even King David in all his power couldn't do this alone. Don't go out and try to take on the world alone, you guys. You'll wear yourself out, and you'll deprive us of being part of something beautiful. So would you dream with us? Would you speak what's on your heart to us? And would you listen as we dream and speak our hearts to you? We'll all be better for it. We are him, Mephibosheth. We are him, David. We are those who have received grace from a powerful king, and we are those called to use our power to help others step into this same grace. May our hearts and homes reflect both of these truths this Thanksgiving week. Mephibosheth, come out and eat. Come and be with your king. You are the one being called. And with God's help, you are the one calling out. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, the one who had all the power in the world and beyond, who came to earth, God himself with us, and rather than walk around and demand everybody bow down before you, in response to your power, instead you chose to serve and to sacrifice and to be poured out, to be emptied so we might be welcomed home. Thank you. All the Mephibosheths in the room say thank you. And Lord Jesus, you are the God of redemption. You're the God that turns things upside down. And so all of us who are crippled and disabled in our brokenness, as we receive your grace, we are empowered to be the Davids, to be the one that get to go out and use our power to bring others along. Forgive us for the ways we've just received your gift without sharing it to help others. This week, as we gather around the table, help us ask the questions with our loved ones. Who are they? Where are they? The folks who need our voice, who need our active hands. Who are they? Where are they? Help us begin to dream together. Help us set a place at the table for them. Help us begin something new in you so that this place called Lodabar might exist no more. There is no barren land in your kingdom. Help us be faithful with our power until your kingdom comes in every pocket of this earth as it is in heaven. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.